I've been talking about a lot of lofty things, about the spiritual war, setting our affections on those things in heaven, seeing the unseen last week, is your name written in the book of life. Today I want to talk from the book of Ecclesiastes as briefly as I possibly can about the nature of life itself, some lessons. And when I was thinking about this originally, it was for our younger people, but it's also for our older people. And so we're going to look at chapter 11 and 12 and make some quick applications as we go. I want to begin by a statement that's made several times in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I put some passages in Luke here. And he says in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, I said to myself, we refer to that as to self-talk. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, this is what I'm going to do. We're thinking to ourselves. That is a powerful concept. And as you go through here, we all do that. But the question is, what are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? I tell you, I'm pretty good. Or I am very grateful to be made whole by the blood of Christ, as we talked about in our Philippians class. Or I've had some really bad stuff happen to me in the past. And so I just can continue to be that way. That gives me a reason to continue that way. Or I was raised, exposed to Christianity, so I'm pretty good. So there's a whole range of thoughts. We have all kinds of thoughts. But the way that we get our thoughts where they need to be is we put them in line with God's Word. And the book of Ecclesiastes just tells us to stop and think. Young people, you need to stop and think. You need to reflect, not just on phones, electronic devices, and the media, and all the noise around you. But you need to stop and think about who you are, because you're going to have to live with yourself. And you're going to be impacted by the choices of your thinking and what you decide to do and where you decide to go. And I've said lots of times, you can run as fast as far as you want. You cannot get away from yourself. But even more importantly, we'll talk about at the end of this lesson, there's more than a matter of earth time involved, as you are aware. The proverb writer says in chapter 23 and verse 7, and I will not go into the context, but it says, for as he thinks in himself, so is he. As a man thinks within himself, so is he. And so these thoughts, what we say to ourselves is very important. And again, I won't have time to develop this, but there's a book called Unlocking Your Brain, which I actually preached about that concept about 2, 3, 4 years ago, how God has made our DNA and our brains and our body in such a way that it has huge potential, and how we think impacts how we allow that to unfold for good and for joy as it builds, or the other way. The potential's there. You get to choose. And so it does matter what we think and what we say to ourselves. So as we go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, I meant to bring my ESV. It has bigger print. I can see it. But I left it on my desk instead. We want to spend just a few minutes in these two chapters. And of course, the book of Ecclesiastes starts with the foundation there is a God. But he says, if you take God and set him aside and you simply, from physical observation, look around you, what you see on this earth, what's the meaning of life? And over again, he says, it is just empty. Vanity of vanity. Life has no rational meaning when you take God out of the picture. Now, he keeps stepping back in through the book and says, but we're not taking God out of it. I just want to stop. If you want as a human being to say, I got this all figured out. I got this. I got it all sorted out. You're going to absolutely fail. At the very best, you've deceived yourself just because you're so foolish. But as this book unfolds, we get to the 11th chapter here, and I just want to make some lessons, especially here in chapter 11 for young people. And I appreciate Eric reading this for us. And I'm just breaking this down into sections here. In these particular verses, in the first 6 verses of the 11th chapter, he talks about being industrious. And talks about cast your bread upon many water, divide your portion with 7 and 8, and you be generous with that, but work hard. And there's stuff that happens that you can't help but do anything about, but just get busy and do what you're supposed to do. It's what I want to bring out of this. I'm sorry our society has been at such ease that oftentimes in recent times, young people haven't learned to work and to be responsible and to understand there's a correlation between work and effort and decency and the fruit that comes from that. One of the worst things of this give everybody everything that our government has been promoting for so long is it destroys the very dignity of a man and of a woman. We are made to be busy, to be working. And young people, I would encourage you to think about that. Get busy and pursue things and develop, learn things, do things, be fruitful and be generous with that. And learn early on, it's not all about you. If you can learn those two things, I mean, you're a long ways down the road ahead of other people. But that's what we find in these first verses of this particular chapter. And in verse 5 and 6, he says there's stuff that happens here. There's things that you don't know. And I mean, there are more things we're able to see with MRIs and all those. It was a baby's developing, but you can't go back and replicate it. I mean, all they can do is try to photocopy what's there or something, if you would. But there's just a lot we don't know. And there is a difference, as you hear me say from time to time, and in just one of the lessons lately about looking to the unseen, there's a difference between your brain and your mind. Sometimes we just pile that all together, but I tell you what, you die, your brain dies, but you don't. There's more to you than that. Well, tell me about that. Well, you don't know. Neither does anybody else. But God has made us in His image and in such a way that His desire is to bless us. And that as we think about being industrious and being busy, there's just a lot I don't know that's going to happen. I'm thankful, you know, there's a move towards young people learning skills, learning trades and things like that. I'm not against a good education for a particular purpose otherwise, and we think our standard, typical college education. But, I mean, learning skills, learning to work is a wonderful thing. And I tell my sons, especially Jason, they say, now, I appreciate what you're doing to your boys. You're teaching them how to think and how to fix things and stuff. And so no matter what they end up doing with their life, that will come back and be useful and bless them. And you can help other people, even if you don't need it for your own purposes. Well, here, industry, and don't hold back. There's one way you say, well, it doesn't matter, you know, maybe so much. So I'm going to sit back and do nothing. Well, this book in the book of Proverbs says, you know, that's a foolish thing to do. And when your stomach starts gnawing on your backbone, you get busy and do something. But work and be industrious. And I tell you what, you'll find, and this is some studies that have crossed decades, that as young people are raised being learned to work and be responsible, it takes them in a better place, typically. So whatever else we might say about these verses, and certainly there's much that we could say. I want to notice in verses 8 and 9, okay, that we are told to rejoice. You know, that is a choice. That is a choice to be happy. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens around me is joyous. That doesn't mean that I like what's happening with my sister. That doesn't mean that I like what's happening with people that are not being faithful to God. It doesn't mean that I like those things, but I have a choice what I'm going to do with it. Am I going to live in that darkness and just live in that muck? No, I'm going to rise up and go do what God would have me to do and try to encourage and try to help. And so you choose joy. And we're studying the book of Philippians right now. And one of the things you recall is that joy and joyfulness is throughout that book. And Paul is in prison because his joy ultimately is in God and in Christ and the gospel and the salvation of the souls of other people. And you see that he is a great servant. And next week, in my absence, J.J. Is going to be talking about the first verses of the second chapter. That is going to be absolutely great study. But hand in hand with that, in verses 7 through 9 here, he says, live in the light. The light is pleasant and it is good for the eyes to see the sun. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all. And let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. We'll talk about the last part of that verse here in just a little bit. But as you look at this, he says, live in the light. If you're not careful, as young people, and for the rest of us, there are things that can happen that we don't like. We feel like we don't get a fair shake. Or things that have come into our life is just not. And if we're not careful, we can let that fester, bring about a darkness in our heart and thinking. I'll tell you, that is painful and troubling. And so we don't want to stay there. And we talked a few weeks back about that we've been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. And we need to think that way. And sometimes we might see young people, you have them draw pictures or tell stories, and they're sort of dark. And it sometimes gives a reflection of their thinking. Well, come out of that. Learn something better. Cut line on that and go a different way. And that's the admonition here, is live in the light. Live in the good. Savor the good. Rejoice in the good. And in verse 9, he also says, follow your heart. Young people like to do certain things old people don't like to do. There are things that I used to love to do that just don't appeal to me. You lose your desire for some of it as you get older. And don't tell anybody, but I'm thinking about getting rid of my big motorcycle. I haven't told my wife that yet, really. But I don't seem to make the time. I hurt so much, I just don't enjoy it. But the desire is not the same as it was. And that's not a complaint. It's an expression of what these chapters are saying. Things change. And that's okay. So what do young people do? You do the same thing I do. Get in the funk here because I can't do what I used to do. No. Live in the light. Rejoice. You follow your heart. Now, that's not the end of the story. So listen to me carefully. That's not all I'm saying. Hey, everybody, do not miss this. You follow your heart, okay? You do what's good. Because what he's going to go ahead and talk to us about is that's not the only factor. You just understand, for whatever you choose to do, you're going to give an account to God. You're going to stand before God in judgment. And so you follow your heart. Be careful sometimes that your heart can be deceived and it can want you to go in ways that are not good and healthy. And so listen to your parents if they're trying to help you. Say, now, I know this is really interesting, but is this going to take you to some places that are not good? And so they're looking out because, you know, it may be they started down that road or they see some things you haven't yet and they love you like nobody else does. Most of the time, they're not trying to be selfish. They're just trying to do good for you. They got their shortcomings, but they're trying to do good for you. And so live in the light and rejoice and remove vexation. That means pain and heartache and trouble from your heart. Don't live there in that darkness. Put it away from you. You put it away. That's what the expression is trying to say. You do that. Don't stay there. And don't justify. And don't wallow in it, because I tell you, it just makes you dirty. But you've been called to the light, in the light, and through the light. The light and the presence and the glory and the goodness. And those ways are good. In recent months and years, I keep saying, and I believe it with all my heart, God's ways are, whether I understand all of them or God's ways are good, I believe. And His ways are wise altogether. Again, remove vexation from your heart and rejoice. The foundation of real knowledge and understanding and good in life is that you fear God. That's the beginning of real knowledge or wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're a young person and you're just scoffing at everybody, say, well, I'm smarter than those stupid people and I don't have to listen to them. What do they know anyway? It's my life. You need to go back and read Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. When I fear God, I will listen to Him and the ways of righteousness. And as we said here in chapter 11, verse 8 and 9, He says, rejoice. And throughout the book here, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 5, chapter 8, it's talking about, yeah, it's a broken world, and there's injustice in the world, and there's problems here. But I tell you what, you enjoy and rejoice in the things that God has graciously provided you if you fear Him. But you know, sometimes people say, well, I'll tell you, that thing is just pretty good, but they're not right with God. And I have some passages over here around rejoice on the right-hand side that talk about that. One of those is 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 32. You remember that Saul was supposed to kill King Agag. And he comes out afterwards that, hey, man, I am just doing pretty good. I have lived through this. Things were not good at all. So we can be happy about stuff, but think about what it is and think about where it's going and think about the outcome. And so we could talk about, just because I'm smiling and even feeling happy, the big picture is all well with my soul and with my God. And this starts probably for you older people. By older, I don't mean old, but not kids anymore. And the bottom part of this is maybe for old guys like me. But you know what happens is oftentimes people live their lives and they say, well, you know, we just can't wait till we get children and everything's going to be wonderful. You get children, you find they got dirty diapers and puke on everything, all the fun stuff, and they keep you up and they get sick and they thwart the things you thought you might want to do and they're expensive. And oh, when they get a little bit older where I don't have to change those dirty diapers and everything's going to be wonderful then. And so I'm looking forward. And I don't have to change diapers anymore, but I tell you what, they want to do this. And then finally, you say, okay, one of these days, they're going to grow up and they're going to get out of the house. And my sweetheart and I, we're going to have a good time. And you find out you love those kids, those grandkids, and they consume your life. And you got so many other things. And say, oh, well, one of these days, when I get old like Gail, I will retire and it's going to be wonderful. And I wish my life would learn to rejoice today. As I stand up here, my heart is broken over my sister-in-law. I love her very much. My own daughter, sort of. And Deborah, she is the only sister. But I am rejoicing, even though my heart is broken. So she is a faithful Christian, and her husband, and her kids. And I'm thankful. But what old people also do, and I didn't put the passage up here, but she did not say about the good old days, how wonderful they are. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. People say, back when I was a young guy, everything was perfect. When we were raising our kids, it was wonderful and smooth. And what happens is we forget all the stuff that wasn't wonderful and smooth. And it was frustrating back then. And that's why back then we said, oh, I can't wait till I get to be old like Gail, so everything will be perfect. And what you see is you look both directions, and people live their life the wrong way. The way you live your life today is live it today in joy and glory for what God has done. And if I die tomorrow, so be it. Just be ready for that. If I live many years, do what you can to be ready for that. But praise God and rejoice in the blessings you have today. Well, chapter 12. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth, because the evil days are coming. And what he means by evil days is that you get old. The body wears out. And because sin entered into the world and we break down, we have this human condition that we get old and our body breaks down. I've got my left shoulder, they said they'd do surgery on about 3 or 4 months ago. I've got a complete tear, a partial tear. I've got arthritis and bone spurs in there. I let them just put an injection in there and I'm doing great. but I've got to keep exercising. But my doctor, who's the one that did my right shoulder when I blew it back some time ago, thanks to Lauren's recommendation of a doctor, he's a great doctor. He said, well, even if we replace the shoulder, the arthritis is going to come right back in there. That's the human state, the human condition. I'm getting old. That's what he's telling me. And my body's breaking down. And it's not fun. As my papa used to say, "So get old ain't for sissies." Now, I'm really okay with that. You may or may not believe that or realize that. I mean, I don't like the pain. It's okay. Because there's so much more, so much more important. And that's what chapter 12 tells us here. Young people, you remember the Creator all your days. Because the evil days will come. And what he does is he tells sort of in poetic ways, the body doesn't work. You not only have glasses, because I couldn't read otherwise. I couldn't see these beautiful faces otherwise without my glasses. And these hearing aids back here, they help some. That just happens. And my walk, my wife was telling me the other day, boys knew I've hurt quite a bit because they said, you know, they watch how you walk. Now, that's what this is describing. It's just getting old. And I don't know what lies between now and the end of my journey here, but it's okay. I didn't say it's fun, but it's okay because I know where I'm going. And frankly, because I can't do a lot of things anymore, I can watch my kids, my grandkids, even at a distance, though they're out there running races with some of these 100-mile bike race yesterday or something like that. I'm not doing that, but it's good. The relationship's good. So all I'm saying, I'm not living out my life and their life, but I'm rejoicing in the fruit of God's wisdom and God's good ways. And that's life. And it's okay. I didn't always say it's fun, but it's okay. Remember the Creator in the days of youth, before the evil days come, as he describes verses 1 through 7. And then he sort of describes life here as this little bowl, there's a silver thread. And finally, as the body's breaking down here, finally that little fragile thread breaks. And I'll call it a piece of pottery, hits the floor, and it scatters. Life's over. The cistern doesn't work anymore. Life's not going on. And in verse 7, what happens? Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave. That's life. But that's not the end of the story. As you keep reading down through here, you look at life, vanity of vanities, if you simply chase this stuff in this world, you find, I married into a good family. I love my wife and my wife's family. I've been very blessed. She got family that, I mean, they named, at the university, named buildings after them and stuff. But you know what that means? Nothing. Vanity of vanity. What matters is what kind of people they were when they lived and as they died. And the words of the wise, especially from God, are like goats. Now, back in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the beginning of real wisdom and knowledge is fear God. And that's what this really closes out with, is God is the ultimate source of what is wise and good. He made you. He knows how to bless you. If you just shut up and listen to him and humbly follow him and rejoice in what he has provided for you, he can bless you. And then what happens is the bottom line, verse 13, 14. Here's the conclusion. When all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. I'd like to just paraphrase and say, this is what it's all about. And in verse 14, see, this world is not the end of the story. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. You're going to give an account to God. Remember back in chapter 11, young people, follow your heart, but know that the Lord will bring you into judgment. So you choose to do what's right, and you follow him. And he's made the only way I can be brought back together with him, this gospel that we talked about a little bit this morning in Philippians. God has made an inheritance for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Colossians chapter 1 says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, and what happened is Epaphras had heard the gospel and he took it back to Colossae and he spoke, that's these first verses. Now in verse 9, these folks at Colossae have heard the gospel and they have obeyed it, just like we saw in Philippians chapter 1, things happening there. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyous, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of life. I find it interesting how many of the expressions have parallels in what we just read in Ecclesiastes 11. God has provided real blessing and joy and rejoicing and hope. And he has qualified us. You know, if you're not qualified, you don't cut it. You don't make it. You know what that means? But if you're qualified, you're walking with the Lord, then this eternal inheritance of the saints in life. Again, so much more we can say about that, but I'm going to leave it. I'll close with this chart. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Find joy. look for today. Count your blessings. If you say, well, it's not a perfect world, well, that's life. If you say, well, I don't have what somebody else has, let's just take away everything you have and send you over to Sierra Leone. You'll find out what nothing. Or send you to over where the Taliban's at, and you'll find out about difficulty. Get your head into the light. Rejoice. Put away vexation. Serve the Creator from young until you finish drawing breath. To God be the glory. God's ways are good. I'm sorry. We've messed it up. He created us good. But Ecclesiastes tells us that also. We've sought out many devices, evil things. But God made a way in Christ where we could come out of that darkness and that sin and have life with Him. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that disbelieveth will be condemned. The arrow to the left. Over in Matthew's account of the Great Commission in chapter 28, verse 20, it says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We're still here. He's still here. Be a disciple. Be committed to follow Him. This morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, all things are ready. The cross has happened. The gospel message has made it known. If you don't understand it, just reach out and grab somebody after services. We'll open our Bible, we'll put our finger on it so you can see what God said about your salvation. If you're subject, won't you come forward as we stand?